Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Here's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
There was a little confusion, and by the time there that we knew there was confusion, we didn't think there was, but there obviously was. It was too late to call a timeout.
What? Okay, there's the explanation for the fourth down play from the Kansas City 7 that resulted in that 20-play, 90-yard, 10-minute drive resulting in nothing. Maybe it was too late for a timeout. If it was too late for a timeout, that would mean you'd get a delay of game penalty. You get,
right?
Right. What do you mean there's no time?
He was high.
As a coach, you can call timeout right from the sideline. I don't know if you know that. You can just go to the rep that's on the line judge there, you know, the guy who's, you know, making sure that everybody's on sides. There's no illegal formation, Mike. Making sure they don't cover somebody up that's not supposed to be covered up. That guy right there, you just walk right over to him at any time before the clock hits zero and go, hey, you do this. I don't know if you know this signal. You put your bottom hand kind of on a upward, so it's like pointing to the sky, and then you put your top hand over
like a T?
And it makes a T.
Ah.
And all you got to do is walk up to the guy and go, hey, timeout. And that guy grants you a timeout. There's not a lot of people who under, like, the rule is, it's a little convoluted. There was no time to call a timeout. You're right. That would be, then you would have had a delay of game.
We'll break the game down, all the intricacies of it, all the nuances of it, all the plays, all the turning points, all that. But the 38,000 foot view right now, where are you at now with where they're at, 6-6, and what you think their prospects are for the final five games of the year?
All right, give me.
They're home to face the surging Lions.
Oof, that's not a gimme.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
I will say this about the Lions. Lions play hard.
They do play hard, yes. They
will play hard.
Think they'll be satisfied with their one win now and just pack it in? Or will they be emboldened?
Yes, I think more of the emboldened.
Okay.
Now we figured it out. I mean, hey, Minnesota's a good team that they beat.
Are they? Are they really? Mike Zimmer's probably going to be fired here.
Right.
Soon.
But offensively, I mean, I guess you do have Kirk Cousins keeping you in games. No, I think Minnesota, offensively, I think Minnesota's a good team. They put up points every week. I bet you they're a top 10 scoring team. You want to bet on that?
Oh, you want to bet?
Bet on them being a top 10 scoring team?
Should we do what they do in the afternoon? Bet coffees and stuff? Or
that's fine. Whatever. I don't bet coffees. But let's just for the heck.
Right. Ben, you say efforting music. You say they're a top 10 scoring.
Scoring offense. Top 10 scoring offense.
All right. I'll take that bet.
All right.
Minnesota Vikings are 25.7.
Uh-huh.
I'd take 26 points per game here.
Yeah.
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 teams better.
Really?
10. Oh, they're 11th.
Oh. You lose.
Shoot. Missed it by that much.
Wait a minute. Is it a tie?
No, they finished. No, they're 11th. They're 11th in scoring.
Okay, what's number 10 at?
You said top 10.
What is the top?
That's not 11.
What's number 10 at?
All right, they're 25-7. The closest is 25-9. Philadelphia.
Philly's 25-9?
Yeah.
Let me see.
At number 10. Are you accusing me of lying?
I'm just wondering if there's like a tie for...
There is no tie.
Okay. All right. No, I will
double check my math.
I will believe you.
Show math who's business, who's boss.
Yeah.
But no, they're 11th. Anyway.
All right, but they were close.
Close. Very close. But you get Detroit, you get Cincinnati, who knows? Honestly, we were talking about this last week. Can we trust the Bengals? Can we trust the Bengals to not bangle? Just when you want to trust the Bengals, they go and bangle.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Can you trust the Broncos?
I know.
To show up, especially at home.
I don't know. That's the league. You take a look at the middle class of the NFL right now, and you look at the teams that are all kind of in the mix, you know, when they always put in the hunt.
Uh-huh.
You tell me how many of these teams are week-to-week teams where you truly don't know, where just when you think you have a bead on them, they go somewhere else. Here you go. Let me start naming the teams. The Chargers, the Bengals, the Steelers, the Colts, the Raiders, the Browns, the Broncos. Over in the NFC, San Francisco, Philly. The AFC especially.
Yeah, the
AFC is loaded with teams where just when you think you have a bead on them, positively or negatively, they go the opposite direction. So yeah. I don't know who comes in. I don't know what Cincinnati team comes here. Then you go to Vegas, then you go to the Chargers. Again, who knows? Who knows what team shows up? Who knows what Bronco team shows up?
Just based on the Broncos in general, I can see out of that Detroit, Cincinnati, those two games, you're going to split.
No.
You're going to lose one of those.
Really?
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Where's the Cincinnati game at?
Here.
Here? Where's the Detroit game? Is it here too?
I think they're going to lose to one of those, huh? They're not going to lose to Detroit. They're not going to lose to Detroit. Yeah. I don't think.
I don't think so either, but I wouldn't put it past them.
Well, no. The week-to-week nature of the Broncos, they'll bounce back. They'll beat Detroit. They'll get to 7-6, and then we'll be looking at Cincinnati, and it'll truly be a matchup of I don't know which team will show up. Either one.
Right.
Either one. I'll have no idea. You'll have no idea. Nobody will be able to predict it. All right, coming up next, we're going to do this right now? All right, let's do this right now. Coming up on December 15th, we're holding a very special fan VIP event for you 7 a.m. listeners to be a part of, where you can come mingle with us, the fan hosts, and you'll be able to hang out with us and catch an exclusive early screening of American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story, which I'm sure will involve him stocking shelves. That's part of the legend. Movie opens in theaters. And then 10 days later on Christmas, but you can see it early and have a great time hanging out with all your favorite and not-so-favorite hosts. Stink and I will be there as well. So we're giving away 4 VIP seats to the event to caller number 4 right now, 303-713-1043, 303-713-1043. Operators, meaning Millennial Ben, standing by. Caller number 4 wins 4 VIP seats. All right, let's get more into what we saw from this offense yesterday. What does this offensive showing say about Teddy Bridgewater and these receivers, especially the ones that got paid? That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better.
Darren in Denver texts in. I know, but is it just me or when they panned to George Payton during the broadcast, he had a very serious look on his face, like it's yarble cutting time? By the way, is it just me or is he like yoked? George Payton?
I think it's just you.
I don't know, man. The dude looked yoked.
I think he's super fit.
I think he's fit and a little bit yoked.
I don't know about he's not the.
I don't know if he's Mark Schlereth yoked, but
he's not a big man.
There's a little yokitude there.
How big do you think he is?
I don't think he's that big, but I think that.
Well, what do you think? Height wise, what do you think he is?
I think he's probably about 6 feet.
No, he's not that tall.
You're not 6 feet?
I don't think so. But yeah, but he's fit.
Other people can be yoked too, you know. You're not the only one that has license on Yokitude. By the way, Trey Wingo, again, released the high school photo of you. Yeah, over your kicking and screaming dead body, right?
I mean, I was in meetings all evening, Saturday evening, and I woke up. I went to bed without looking at anything. I mean, I called my wife, and I was kind of going over rosters. Then I woke up the next morning and did what I, you know, what I always do. I do a devotional. I do my stuff. And then I was looking at my Twitter feed. Normally, I do that during my morning constitution. You know, something to read. And I'm like, oh, my, Trey, when you go, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Is this nothing but.
Stop it. You're embarrassing me. Anyway.
Hey, you know what? It's not my fault.
Since.
Maybe it is a little bit. Yeah, but my definition of yogitude and your definition of yogitude are probably two different definitions.
Well, this is the only thing that matters right now. George Payton's the only figure in the Broncos building that matters right now. Mm-hmm. How does he truly, honestly view this? Because you got guys like James Merrillat, D-Mac, just, you know, pushing the panic button and fear-mongering and saying they want to bring back Vic Fangio. They're looking, George Payton's looking for any excuse possible to give Vic Fangio and Teddy Bridgewater another kick at this. He comes from Minnesota. They have a reputation of being ultra-conservative. And I'm sitting here saying, dude's waited 20 years for this opportunity. You're telling me he's got a 6-year deal, which is awesome, but you're telling me he's going to spend the first 2 years of that deal not really doing anything to put his imprint on the direction of this franchise? I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
I don't.
And I also, can I also add,
yeah.
I don't think he took a job knowing full well that there was going to be ownership change, but yet taking that job with the understanding you're going to be hamstrung and hands tied for 2 years, the first 2 years of that 6-year deal, too.
I think this first year was the hamstring year. This first year was like, hey, you got to keep this staff in place and, you know, you got to rework this roster and yada, yada, yada. And I think that's where they've gone or that's where they're going. Now, I think there are going to be opportunities, Mike, in the free agent market. So everybody says, you know, this draft class isn't very good. This quarterback draft class. I get that. Whatever. They say that every year. You know, they say, I mean, or they say, hey, this draft class is the best draft class ever. In 2018, our 2018 was, you know, the 83 equivalent. So far we've got Cleveland having to make a decision on Baker, number one overall. Darnold has already been with two teams. He's done. Rosen has been with like seven teams. He got in a game a couple weeks ago and proceeded to his first throw or a second throw was a pick six. I mean, that guy couldn't play dead in a Western. You've got, you know, two guys out of that five that are producing right now in Josh Allen, and the other one at 32 was Lamar Jackson. So, I mean, let's pump our brakes on, hey, there are no good quarterbacks in this draft class, but I think there are going to be guys that are potentially available. And it may not be Rodgers. It may not be Russell Wilson. It may be Jimmy Garoppolo. It may be, you know, those may be the guys that you have to choose from. You've got to make a decision. Is that a guy that's going to lead your franchise to where you want to go? Or is that another stopgap measure? I mean, but they're going to be.
You've got to be looking at an upgrade, though, right?
100%.
You can't believe that Bridgewater's the answer next year.
That is correct.
So you have to look for an upgrade. Now, maybe it's a massive upgrade. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, maybe. Or maybe it's just an upgrade. Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
Draft pick to be determined.
Or maybe there's somebody out there in the college game that you really like.
That's what I meant. Yeah, draft pick. Yeah, draft pick to be determined.
Pickett, do you like him? I don't know if that's a great name for a quarterback.
It's like having a kicker named Blewett.
Yeah, it's a great name for a first baseman, Pickett.
Or third baseman.
Third baseman. Quarterback?
Probably not.
Yeah, it is like kind of like the Blewett.
Right.
Kicker named Blewett.
If your last name's Blewett, why do you go into the field of kicking?
Yeah. Well, I think we figured that out. There's only one good profession for that guy. Demolition.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Go directly.
What do you do? I blow things up.
Go directly.
What's your last name? Blewett.
Blewett. Chris Blewett. Blewett Construction. Like, I mean, it writes itself. Right.
That's right. It does. Jinx.
Jinxy.
You owe me a Coke. I don't know, whatever, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it goes. You owe me a Coke.
All right.
Yeah, that's how we did it.
All right.
I did that the other day, the owe you a Coke thing, and somebody like, what are you talking about? I never heard of that.
I'm telling you. Must be another East Coaster. I don't think it ever made its way to the East Coast.
Oh, you didn't do the
owe
you a Coke?
No. Nope.
Oh, that was you? I was talking
to
you.
That was me. That was me. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
No.
Are you kidding me?
I couldn't remember who I was talking to.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, it was me. Oh. I thought you were like, yeah, we had that conversation, and I had it with somebody else.
You can't remember. I can't. You know I can't remember conversations I had. Oh, yeah.
Would Gardner Minshew be an upgrade?
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
With that glorious stash and those cutoff jeans.
Jorts.
Okay. Yeah.
Four down territory is coming up. We'll go around the division and why John Harbaugh is the man. That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is four down territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal foul, 69. Offense. He's giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Ready, bread. First down.
Meanwhile, the ball is out at the 15-yard line, and the Chiefs have it. Byron Pringle comes up with it.
NBC, Sunday Night Football. The Broncos lose 22-9. That is now 12 straight losses to the Kansas City Chiefs, and Mark, allow me to, even in defeat, pat myself on the back for, once again, a couple of myths being exposed yesterday. One, this whole notion of you got to run the football. Well, the Broncos ran the football. They ran it 31 times for 154 yards. Javonte Williams was a beast, 23 carries for 102 yards. But as I've been saying for years and years and years, your running game only matters unless you have the quarterback to make it matter. You score to win, you pass to win in this league. The Broncos did neither. The other thing, I'll let you tackle both at the same time. The idea that receivers play a dependent position, since signing their contract extensions, Cortland Sutton, 2 games, 9 targets, 4 catches for 32 yards. Tim Patrick, 8 targets, 3 catches for 35 yards. Neither one with a touchdown. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that one, I'll agree with you. But points in the passing game, the running game, obviously the running game matters. Physicality.
How many scored 9 points?
Well, how many Kansas City play? Score?
16.
184 yards passing. Is that what won? That 184 yards passing for Kansas City, that's what won them the game.
But they didn't run the ball either.
They didn't do anything.
Still won the game.
You know what? You know what wins games? Not calling plays, calling an offense. Setting an offense up. That's what wins plays. Coming out in shotgun on 3rd down and 2 when on 2nd down and 7 you just crammed it down their throat for, or 2nd down and 10 or whatever it was, you crammed it down their throat for a 5-7 yard game, whatever it was, and getting to 3rd down and 2 and then coming out in shotgun with nasty splits so everybody knows, hey, man, we're running shallow crossing routes. And they just zoned it off and pressured the quarterback, made him throw it away. I don't know. I would like to keep both options open. You know, show them. Get under center like you were the previous play on that 5 or 7 yard run, whatever the hell it was. I don't know. I don't remember.
Six yards?
Yep.
There you go. It was 3rd and 2 for the KC-7. Next in 4 down territory.
Second down.
We're all looking that way.
Now he's going to use his legs, throws to the end zone, and that pass is intercepted. Chris Harris takes a knee. There is a flag in the backfield. Shannon does not look happy.
The result of the play is a touchdown. Now, correction. I apologize. The result of the play is an interception by Los Angeles.
Knock on wood.
Not as famous as giving him the business, but we'll take it. Man, Charger Radio there. You had two teams. Boy, if you need Exhibit A as to how the AFC is made up of a bunch of teams where literally week to week you have no idea what to expect, or maybe you do expect, as good as they look one week, expect them to be horrible the next. As horrible as they look one week, expect them to look great the next.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers who looked terrible here, hammer the Bengals, who people were thinking, hey, maybe the Bengals are for real. Maybe the Bengals are legit. No, at least not this week. They'll probably look great next week. Who do the Bengals play next week? Bengals play who? Next week? The Bengals next week play, they host San Francisco. They'll probably beat San Francisco.
I don't think so.
Oh, wow. The bloom is off your Kyle Shanahan rose there, Mark Schlereth.
Here we go.
Your love affair with Kyle hit a bit of a speed bump.
Hey, by the way, just on your points on the passing game.
Uh-huh.
How'd the Broncos beat the Chargers? And the Chargers, Herbert was 28 of 44 for 303 yards. They scored 13 points. How's your theory work on that?
Yeah, if Justin Herbert has a bad game, then the offense is going to grind to a halt.
He threw for 303 yards.
Oh, please, come on. Everybody throws for 300 yards. Well, everybody would. Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, wait, they ran it. They only ran it 16, 17 times and for very minimal yardage.
Well, I'm saying you got to have.
Oh, you got to have balance. Is that what you're saying?
No. I said you have to have. No. You're not going to get me out of that. You have to have elite, consistent quarterback play. It can't be up and down.
Now we got to have an elite.
Well, if you're going to have above average quarterback play, yeah.
Complete 65% of your passes and throw for 300 yards and two touchdowns.
In order to win consistently in this league, not one week up, one week down, in order to win consistently and actually compete for championships, yeah. You better have the quarterback to make that running game matter. And you better have the quarterback on those days where you don't have a running game, he still goes out and finds a way to win for you.
You also better have a team that when they have to run it, they can run it. When they have to throw it, they can throw it.
Will you just agree with me on this? I got you now. Will you just agree with me?
Okay.
That no matter how good your running game is, you cannot win consistently with just an above average running game and an average quarterback.
An above average running game and an average
quarterback.
An average quarterback.
And that's what the Broncos have.
Right.
Okay.
It's going to put you in a situation where you're trying to compete for a wild card every year.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for making my point.
That's not your point.
It is my point.
A wild card every year. If that's good enough for you here in Colorado, then okay.
Oh, I don't even think it's good for a wild card every year.
Right.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Snap. Kick. It is up and jackpot! It's good! Washington takes the lead!
And the Oakland Raiders are no more.
See, there you go. Another example. Raiders lose three in a row. They look terrific on Thanksgiving Day, then turn around and spit the bit at home against Wooft. Meanwhile, Wooft has won four in a row.
Wooft.
Here comes Wooft. 6-6. Late season speed from Taylor, don't call me Tyler Heinicke. Mark Schlereth.
I didn't, and not on the broadcast.
No, you did.
On our radio show, yes.
Thankfully, I many corrected times. You before.
Many times. That has happened to me many, many times. How about the Wooft? 17-15 game?
They won back-to-back 17-15 games. Meanwhile, what's going on with the Raiders?
The Raiders. Raiders are the Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders gonna Raider.
Yeah, Raider gonna Raider.
Raiders are the Bengals.
Bengals
or the Broncos.
On Thanksgiving.
Broncos are the... Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving was just one of those, like, that's two teams that are trying to lose. That's the Cowboys, because the Cowboys are going to Cowboy, the Raiders are going to Raider, and somebody just Raidered or Cowboyed more than the other one.
Yep. Raiders, by the way, go to Kansas City next week. Thanks for playing. Las Vegas. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Baltimore blitzes. Van back. Throws that pass. It's caught. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. Deontay Johnson with 1:48 to go.
Steeler radio. But the Ravens came back, scored, and this is why I love John Harbaugh. In a league full of coaches who worry more about what can go wrong rather than what can go right, who coach to the idea of trying not to lose rather than trying to win, I love the fact that Harbaugh looked at and said, you know what, we're on the road in Pittsburgh, we're 2 yards away from victory. Rather than kicking the extra point and going to overtime and bringing into play all the variables that go along with overtime football, I'm going for it right now. And they had the ball right on the fingertips of the usually ultra-dependable Mark Andrews. He just dropped it. Steelers escape, but doesn't change the fact I loved what Harbaugh did. Who's got the security to say, yeah, let's go for it.
I'd have kicked the extra point and gone into...
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You're 2 yards away from winning the game. You
got the most reliable kicker in history who's already hit a 66-yarder on the season. I like my chances in overtime.
You lose the toss, they go down, score a touchdown, you never see the ball.
Yeah, my defense got to be better than that.
You know, or maybe you end up playing an extra 10 minutes of football that maybe affects you in your next game. Get it over with right now. Win or lose. Let's do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, did you do that at home or did you do that on the road?
Play for the tie at home, win on the road. I think that if that had been the Steelers, they kicked the extra point, go to overtime.
At home?
At home. But on the road?
You play for the win?
Play for the win.
Yeah, I still probably would have kicked the extra point.
Really? I got no problem with it. I loved it.
And
the play was there. The play was there.
Sure.
A ball that 99 times out of 100 he catches and walks into the end zone.
Yeah, Lamar hasn't played well. I don't know. There's just some other factors in there. But, yeah, okay. I understand where you're coming from.
Meanwhile, Steelers still alive. Still alive. All right, that'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. A lot to react to on a Bronco Reaction Monday. We'll do that next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. Teddy is Case Keenum. Please, George, don't have him for next year. It'll be just another in a long line of wasted years.
Keenum, here's the interception.
All Teddy gets you is a crap draft pick. Which, by the way, the whole notion that all the Broncos are doing is playing themselves into purgatory and getting a draft position that won't allow them to go after a quarterback if Peyton likes one. Where was Chicago coming from when they moved up to get a can't-miss kid, Justin Fields? Where'd they move up from? 17-9?
No,
17-10? 17-11?
11, I think 11. 15-11, something like that. Where was Mac Jones taken? 15?
15. But they didn't move.
I realize that, but...
Chicago set the 20th overall pick and a fifth rounder in addition to 2022 first and fourth round picks to secure its quarterback of the future. I'm reading from NFL.com.
Okay. So they went from 20th.
They can... So the idea that you can't move up if you have a quarterback you like. Where did Kansas City move up to get Mahomes?
To 10. They went from 26 to 10 or something like that.
Right? So, again, stop with the fear-mongering that, all they're doing is playing themselves into a position where they can't draft a quarterback. If George Payton likes a quarterback, none of this bogus, lazy, pick one, anyone, as long as Mel Kiper and Todd McShay have him in their top 10 quarterbacks. If he likes a quarterback and he wants to get him,
go get him.
Go get him. And don't buy this BS that, well, they're coming from a spot where they just can't get him.
Where did San Francisco move up to get Trey Lance? Didn't they move up from like 12 to 3? Am I mistaken on that? 12 to 6 and then 6 to 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's
they moved from 12 to 12 to 3.
Yeah, you know what's a shame is that you can't, you know, that you just don't blow them all. We should just blow them all so we can make sure, you know, we get a can't miss proposition like Baker Mayfield at 1 or Sam Darnold at 3. One of those, you can't miss propositions.
All I'm saying is that if there is a quarterback that he likes, loves.
Yeah.
He clearly didn't love Justin Fields. He clearly didn't love Mac Jones. And we'll watch Mac Jones tonight in Buffalo in the rain and the wind and the snow. It sounds like it's going to be a beautiful Buffalo night tonight.
He's got an advantage in cold weather, though.
And what's that?
Squishy.
He is squishy. A little added layer there.
Yeah, it's just an insular layer.
Yes.
Of chub.
He's got a little bit of baby fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps him warmer than the average quarterback.
True. One of the benefits of being squishy.
Yeah.
If you're ripped, there's no body fat to protect you in the cold and the wind and Buffalo weather. But if you get a little squishiness, you're comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, it's almost balmy out here. Are you guys hot?
Maybe I'll take my shirt off. Oh, maybe I won't.
Yeah.
Did that once. That didn't go so well. Chiefs went from 27 to 10 to get Mahomes.
27 to 10.
All right. So just relax, okay? Next time you hear one of the fearmongers on our station say, oh, well, all you're doing is putting yourself into NFL purgatory where even if you want to get a quarterback, you can't. I think we've exposed that myth. What else we got? Problem I had with Teddy last night wasn't so much his performance as he just didn't seem to be into it. Wasn't showing much emotion.
There's always going to be a but.
Had an almost Cutler-type vibe to him. Yikes. Did you see that?
No, I mean, no. Isn't that how Teddy always is? Kind of. Was there a ton of emotion in any of the wins? I mean, is there a difference in the way you've seen Teddy from wins versus losses? Isn't he just kind of methodical?
Yeah, but don't they need a little bit more than just steady Teddy?
Yeah, I think we've established that.
Okay.
I think we've established that. I mean, you and I have said this from day one. He is not the quarterback of the future. He's the quarterback that was available.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the powers that be do not care for whatever reason. They don't think that Drew Lock is the answer. And so that's.
What do you think George Payton's plan is at quarterback?
I think his plan is to thoroughly evaluate this draft. And if he loves a guy, to find a way to get that guy. If he doesn't, he's going to try to find an upgrade through free agency. That's been the Minnesota model that he was a part of for, 14 seasons?
But is it a good model? Is it a model to follow? Or should he, altogether now, take a chance on a guy that he may like but doesn't love?
Well, I think the history of the take a chance situation, he experienced that in Minnesota. Christian Ponder, does that ring a bell? 12 overall. How'd that work out?
That was a while ago.
But
they did try that. You're right. They did try it.
They tried it with Teddy Bridgewater. He was, what, 30th overall? I mean, who else have they gone after? There have been any other quarterbacks drafted by minute? They drafted somebody this year.
Yeah, Kellen Mond. They've tried it all. They've drafted high, Ponder. Mm-hmm. They've traded Sam Bradford. Mm-hmm. They signed Kirk Cousins.
Uh-huh.
They developed, turned to a backup in Case Keenum. They've kind of tried it all over the years.
Right.
Hasn't worked. Unlucky. Not for lack of trying.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't worked out. But that was Rick Spielman's problem. George Payton was just his lieutenant. You are defined as a general manager by your ability to find the quarterback. That's why John Elway isn't in charge anymore.
Let me
John Elway, Lord Peyton Manning. John Elway drafted Paxton Lynch and Drew Lock. By the way, what the? How does a guy who was an all-time great quarterback, played the position as good as anybody, looks at a guy who can't play in Canada as the answer?
Oh, okay.
Did Millennial Ben raise the standards when I wasn't looking? I thought that was good.
Yeah, there's no... Hey, I think we've made one thing apparent. There are no standards.
No, there are no standards. But seriously, how can a guy... I don't know.
I'm not John Elway.
I don't know. How can a guy... It's not only that he missed on the two guys he drafted. And I'm not going to put Brock, because Brock, you don't win a Super Bowl without Brock Osweiler. So I'm going to give Brock the benefit of the doubt. But in Paxton,
ball security is job
Paxton
security.
And Drew, it wasn't just the fact that you whiffed on these two guys. You whiffed on two guys who just seemed so ill-prepared and immature to play the position. How did you not look at them and go, I have played in the most pressurized moments that exist in the NFL. I was in the dog pound for the drive. I played in Super Bowls. I know what it takes mentally to play this position. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take a look at Paxton Lynch and Drew Lock and say, yep, those guys can do that too. I don't know.
I guess you.
If we learned one thing last week in playing all those vignettes, it's just how poorly run the Broncos have been over the last 5-6 years. Just incredibly poorly run.
I think the issue that you get into, Mike, is you're evaluating, you know, the athletic triangle, height, weight, speed, and at every position. I don't care. Obviously, you have to have height, weight, speed. You got to be able to do all that stuff, right? Got to be able to jump over boxes and do all that garbage. What really sets you apart from bad to good, good to great, great to exceptional, is how quick you can process information in critical moments. That's what makes you great. That's what makes you exceptional. That's what takes you to the next level, and that's what allows you to play hurt and play injured and still play well hurt and injured, is your ability to see things and react to things. And I just think that has so much more to do with it. Obviously, you got to spend more time. You got to talk to guys. You got to, you know, you really got to dig into backgrounds, and you got to have conversations with those guys, and you got to, you know, have football conversations. As you see this video going around where they asked Cooper Kupp a question about his touchdown. It was like, wow, they were in a 3-deep fire zone, and you know, the corner was coming off the slot, and so I knew number 3 had to push through on the safety, you know, and da-da-da-da-da, I was able to get him, he came down, missed tackle, got, you know, and you're talking about all the things. There's a wide receiver that sees the game exactly as a quarterback sees it. Cooper Kupp's is, Cooper, that's Cooper Kupp. He's a smart dude. But, like, those are the type of guys that, you know, you may not have the greatest athletic triangle, but you're so damn smart, and you see it just like the quarterback. You know exactly where the openings are. You know exactly how to run the route.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.